Blog Talk Radio.
Convention to Zero Redemption by Stephen L. Bobo.
Mr. VP Ever, you'll be up in just a minute.
Okay.
Conviction to Zero Redemption by Stephen L. Bobo.
What's up, everybody? Stephen L. Bobo here, Bozilla, if you will. I am ready to start my show. I do have a guest on. And, sir, go ahead and introduce yourself. Come on in.
Yes, hi, Bozilla. Thank you for having me. My name is Dean DiPiero. I am really all sorts of things, Bozilla. I'm an author. I'm a consultant. I'm a paralegal. And I'm also a bank robber. I served 20 years in federal prison for very foolish decisions I made at a time in my life when I was young, obviously ignorant, uneducated, unemployed, and homeless. I had just gotten out of state prison where I served 3 years for stealing a car at the age of 19. And here in this desperate place of not being able to find work because of that conviction and not being able to get a place to live, I didn't really want to take up a life of crime. So I thought, you know, if I just do this one really bad thing, I won't have to do anything else. It wasn't really a rationalization, but that's what I used to talk myself into doing it. And I did it and got arrested. And I was in the county jail and I was looking at so much time. And they would take me to court, and because I was looking at such a long time in prison, I really wanted to pay attention and understand what was going on. But it seemed like the more I paid attention, the less I understood. I speak English, and presumably they were speaking English, but I had no idea what they were saying in that courtroom. All I knew was that it was very serious, and my life was at stake. This was really made worse when I found that my public defender had been lying to me. And, Bozilla, this was the scariest time of my life. Here I was in a maze I didn't know how to get out of. I didn't know the language that they spoke. And the one and only guy who was supposed to be on my side, all I knew about him was he's a liar. Mm-hmm. I then started going to the law library, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. My trips to the law library, it was as if I was getting out of prison when I would go there. Just the idea that here were all the answers to the questions that I had about law. And I liked it so much that I decided to start a correspondence course. It was a 2-year correspondence course, a paralegal course. And I completed it in only 7 months. And the month after that, I was sentenced to... I loved it. I soaked it up like a sponge. And then the following month, I was sentenced to 20 years in federal prison is what I got. Actually, 20 years and 8 months is what the federal judge gave me as a sentence. It was a devastating thing, obviously. The day after I was sentenced, I was in the fetal position all day crying. And then I cried no more. Bozilla, I realized that I had put so much into studying law, and this was such a great opportunity for me, that here I was going to go to a place where there were endless cases, that I would be able to do this thing that I love every single day. And when I was done serving that time, if I lived through it, I told myself, I would get out and I would be really good at one thing, and I would never again be in that position where I would be so desperate that I would make that choice. And so it's a long introduction, but that's who I am.
that's deep, man, because that's a simple fact that what a lot of people don't understand. Once you go to jail, like I said, I've been to prison myself. I was a CO also. But likely once you go to prison, things change, and you took it upon yourself to educate yourself, and which is great because, like you said, you do not understand anything when they talk about when you go to court. It's like they're talking a foreign language. It's like Star Trek. They're the Klingons, and you're just regular Captain Kirk. You don't know what's going on, and it's just not right. Because, it once again, at the age that you were, it goes back to me and my crew have been talking about that pipeline. When you are taken advantage of because you were young, you, at that age, you still don't know everything that goes on in the world today. You went to prison for something. You know what? That's almost not the robbing the bank or what the stealing the car. That is actually a they kind of slant you again because they said, well, we let him go for that car theft, so he came back out and did this. So then they slant you even more prison time for robbing a bank. You know, I understand what the charge is, it's a federal offense, it's a big-time federal offense, but that's so much time. I've seen people get less time for killing somebody. And, you know, and that's just outrageous. You didn't kill nobody, you didn't hurt nobody, you just took the government's money. And that's what it was. They're just more mad because you took their money. I don't agree with you 100%. You did the right thing. You took upon yourself to educate yourself. Now you took it back. Now what you learned because of them, you're going to use it to help the other people who are inside there. And that's a beautiful thing. And we need things like that. That's why I decided to do what I do. I will learn what I'm going to use what I learned in there and come back out here and help these kids that's on their way to go in there. And you're right. I agree with you 100%, man. I commend you for that.
Thank you so much. You know, there's really now, as I'm talking to you, there's really two parts to who I am today and what I'm doing. There's the part mm-hmm. where I work. You know, I'm still working on cases, and I love it. I love helping individuals. That's a lot of fun. It's gratifying. But yet something needs to be done about this problem of defendants. Ignorance,
mm-hmm.
just not knowing mm-hmm. how I mean that word, the defendant's
right.
ignorance and how it is that their ignorance works against them. I want to cite one example, and that is because of the time Nathaniel Woods,
who, God
rest his soul, was executed yesterday. You know, it's interesting. That when he went in a post-conviction sense and tried challenging his conviction, one of the issues that he raised was that after his direct appeal, his attorney mm-hmm. didn't ask the Alabama Court of Appeals for a rehearing. Now defendants have won before through these rehearings, but his attorney
mm-hmm.
didn't do that. Nor did his attorney ask to go to the Supreme Court, where also, in the past, defendants have won. But his attorney didn't do it at all. So in his post-conviction, he raised that as an issue of ineffective assistance of counsel. But because that's such a difficult issue to win, the federal courts shot it down. But what would it have been if Nathaniel had known that he himself could have petitioned the court for a rehearing? That he himself,
that's true.
Even without the aid
that's
of an
true.
Attorney, could have went to the Supreme Court. Surely he wasn't to leave any stone unturned. But he was trusting his attorney. And so many defendants who are ignorant of the law, they trust a stranger who just so happens
that's
to be
right.
an attorney. And they
that's
do
right.
it to their own detriment. In my opinion, the problem is knowledge, the lack of knowledge. Shakespeare
exactly.
says there is no darkness but ignorance. When we are
that's
in
so
the
true.
Dark and we are ignorant, we are in a very dangerous place. And if you are fighting for your life, whether that be literally in Nathaniel's case or it be the years of your life as in everyone else's case, you can't afford to be in the dark. So one of the things that I'm doing is I have a team, and we are purposed towards educating people, loved ones of defendants and defendants, helping them
right.
understand their rights, helping them understand that language, translating those words into plain English so that with this knowledge, they in turn can protect themselves.
Thank you. That's what we need. We need more people like this because, like I said, there's so much stuff out here. That's right. This whole case right here shook me up. When I heard it this morning, I didn't think they were going to do it. I think, you know, first of all, I heard it was going to stay. They put a stay on it. And then I turned on the news this morning and said, they executed me. I couldn't believe it. I was telling Danielle that, you know, listen to this. I said, they executed him. I said, but they said it was a stay, you know, and I told you, I said, the reason why a lot of this stuff happens so quickly, it's an election year. You know, they're trying to get you up. They try to get stuff off the case before this election happens, and they don't know who they're going to have inside these courthouses, so they're trying to get what these other judges, other prosecutors, and all these district attorneys, and we're going, they're up for a re-election, they're trying to make it look like, hey, I'm doing my job. But see, it's actually, these people are scared to say whatever they want to say because they don't know what's up next. And I get so irritated with it because it's just so much, like you just said before, it's just so much ignorance out there. People don't want to understand or they don't care until it's their loved one behind them walls, behind their bars, and about to get that needle in their arm. Then they want to come out and ask for help. But if you sit back and try to learn from other people what we had to go through, maybe you could be able to tell these people before they do something stupid, this is what's going to happen if you do that. You know, people don't seem to understand. There's more things happen when somebody goes to prison in the place that you could teach the next person who hasn't been there for stop caring to do something stupid. That's the thing I want people to understand. You can. This is an educational thing.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. And I think, though, I was ignorant, obviously, and you're absolutely right. I remember one case I worked on in prison. The guy spoke, I kid you not, 7 languages. He was just a genius. Went into court and got his ass handed to him. Brilliant guy, but he didn't speak the language that was spoken in court. And as a result of that, he applied common sense, thinking that common sense was going to help him. But if anyone knows anything about our court system, common sense does not apply in our criminal law at all. So I think a part of the thing is I didn't realize this was until I got out, and it's hard out here. You know, the cost of living is tough, and people are just – they're trying to make it in their day-to-day life. So the idea of going and, you know, studying criminal law and how hard that is just on the off chance that I might need it, I think – one thing, it would be, if it was made easier to understand, because let's face it, if you pick up a law book, you know, it's written for lawyers. It's written for people who already know the law. There isn't a whole lot of material that is written for people who don't know the law. I think if there was more of this information, because we're familiar, right, with Googling things, if you could just essentially Google stuff about criminal law, then I think people would tap into it. But you're absolutely right. It isn't until you're affected, until you have a loved one in jail looking at the prospect of going to prison that you then care. And then, of course, this is another thing, you're going to learn as it's happening to you. So you're always behind the eight ball. You need to know it before it happens to you, not after it happens to you. That doesn't help you for preparing for the next step. So.
That's so right. Okay, well, I'm going to put this on this note here with you. You said there's another thing I can go back with what we do with the pipeline is, like you said, you had just got out of jail. You had no place to go. You're on your luck, so that's why you said, I'm going to go ahead and do this next little crime to get me to do what I need to do. I need to eat or need the transportation, get out this cold weather. Now, see, that situation's right there that a lot of these young kids don't understand. Once you go to prison, a lot of these jobs that you thought you could get is taken away from you. So, what do you have to say about that? What's your comment on that?
Oh, wow. I wish it was a 3-hour program. That's what I say.
even
when I got out from the feds, do you know I was released with no ID, sent to the wrong place, nothing. It is no wonder we have a 67% recidivism rate. Where I'm at, in the state of Idaho, the landlords and property managers, they are by law allowed to ask if you have a criminal history. And they even run an NCIC check on you.
Yes, they do.
I got out and I contacted 46 apartments all of them said no because of my background, which, of course, remind you, was 20 years ago. Furthermore, keep in mind that I have a reputable career. I have lawyers who I work with. I have great references. Doesn't matter.
Right.
One property manager told me, why would we take a chance on you when I have 20 other applicants who don't have a record? Why take a chance on you? So you face
that
possibility. Fortunately, with my career, I haven't been in a position where I have had to look for work. Now, don't get me wrong. It's certainly been hard. But I was convicted of bank robbery. Who's going to hire me to be a cashier? Who's going to hire me to handle money in that sense? You know, the stigma that comes with this conviction, you know, and the way that our society looks at, we're like lepers, the way that they look at us. It is so difficult. And, of course, you're starting with nothing. I didn't have a pair of socks when I got out. So to be rebuilding your life, getting identification, looking for a job, looking for a place to live, it is so much to do when you are just coming from what is truly a traumatic experience, not a correctional experience. Your time, and this gets away from your question, but if our prison system did anything towards preparing anyone to get out, then it would look much different. But we are warehoused. We're not prepared. Never once did a staff member come and say to me, come on, Dean, you got to get to the law library. You're gonna have to work when you get out. No. I'm not where I am because of the system. I'm where I am in spite of the system. That with the challenges of not being able to get to the law library, of being retaliated against by prison guards because they thought that I thought I'm uppity because I know three-syllable words. The challenges, it just immense. That it is no wonder that so many guys just throw the towel in and say, you know what? Prison is easier. Prison is a lot easier. It's really, really sad
right.
that
they think that.
Yeah. And then the final point I want to make.
Go ahead.
This is the last point I want to make with regard to this. It's not about, you know, bleeding hearts and, you know, hug a convict. That's not what this is about. It's about making it better and safer for society. When you take a guy who has obviously shown himself capable of committing a violent crime, and you make it this hard for him, you are only increasing the chances that he's going to do it again. Society loses this way. Society would be safer if they assisted with some minor things, housing, some help along the way. It just makes sense all the way around. I'm not just saying this, let's love convicts. It makes sense all the way around.
And you said a mouthful right there. It makes 100%. Yeah, it all the way around. It sure does. But the thing is, man, I'm back to the job aspect as being a returning citizen. It is something that people need to understand that one day we're going to get out. So why don't you take it upon yourself to lend a helping hand? Like, yeah, let's give these people somewhere to live. Tent City is not what it is. Tent City is not where we need to go because then. You are already there. That's nothing but another breeding ground for more crime. That's all it is. Another place without walls, but it has walls. So that's what I'm saying. You need to understand these people need help. Me and my people are about to go into Tent City this summer and see how many kids we see that we could try to help get out this situation, get them in a place where they need to be, because Tent City is not good for anybody. And what can you expect? What do you expect a 15-year-old doing inside another wall? They're not going to learn. That's not teaching them anything. Education is the key. Like you said, education is the key that's going to keep you out of this system. And you go keep them in these type of places, that's all you do is repeating yourself the same thing. Like what they say, you keep trying to think a different thing is going to happen. You keep doing the same thing, waiting for a different answer. Mm-hmm. That means that's you know, you're completely crazy. That's just silly that you're saying it's going to happen differently. You keep doing the same thing. And I agree with you 100%. Things got to be changed. This system needs to wake up. This crime is here, and this crime is going to stay. But as long as we have people in political places, and I'm not saying who these people are, but we all know, to me, we all know who they are. People in these political places want to keep you in this. Amendment 13 is exactly what it is. It's still slavery. It's slavery still for these gentlemen, these women, and young men that are in the institution because they want you to work for nothing. They're trying to put this back on your back to build this house, to build this area again, and that's not what it is. You need to understand this. People, get your education. Get out and vote those who are allowed to vote. And that's another thing that's so damn stupid. I'm sorry, I can't talk over you too. That's so stupid because you get out of prison, you're taking everything from us. Now you're trying to take our right to vote? Are you scared for us because you know we're going to say something on the right thing to help these people? You want to take our right to vote? I'm lucky in my state they didn't take mine. I got out, my lawyer told me, you can vote. You know that, right? I didn't know. I didn't think I was going to be able to vote. He said, you can vote. But what I'm saying is there's so many states that will not let you vote. Oklahoma, one of my friends, J.D., he came over and told me, oh, man, I can't even vote. I can't even do everything else. He's like, I can work, and they can take FICA out my check and take the federal government out my check, but they won't let me vote. They won't let me carry a firearm. They won't let me do anything. But yet you will take my money and work behind these walls and be that slave for you, be that yes sir for you, but yet you will not be able to vote. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, it's absolutely wrong, and it's a part of the demoralizing of an inmate. You know, the government sends the message to the inmate that he or she is no longer a part of society, that you
exactly.
are completely ostracized. Your voice doesn't count. You're not to be close to us. Can you imagine being in that position, especially for many of us? We started and we have mental health conditions to begin with. And to be told that we're lepers or that we don't count, we don't matter, then where is your home? Where do you belong then? Then you feel
right.
like you belong in prison. You don't belong out here. These people don't want you. It truly is
That's
that.
Right.
It is it. I want to say something about the prison factories. They have that in the federal system. It's called Unicor. And it's really, really sad where exactly what you say, these guys go there, they work for $1 an hour, and that's considered six figures in prison.
Mm-hmm.
They work for $1 an hour, and they bust their ass, oftentimes getting hurt while they're working. And they do that mm-hmm. for who knows how many years. And then when they get out, nothing. Absolutely nothing. They don't. That doesn't give you a trade that is really appreciable, one that you can go and you can work with the entire time. I'll have you know, Brazil, the entire time I was there, I never not one day stepped foot mm-hmm. in that factory. And the reason for that was this, that I knew this day was going to come when I was going to be out here once again looking for a job, once again looking for a place to live. And I knew that the answer was going to be law. And so I went all in
right.
on that thing.
That's
and if
right.
this message can get to anyone who's in prison, I want to encourage you. I've been where you're at. I want to encourage you that you take that time and you study something. It doesn't matter what
That's
it
right.
is. But you study
right.
something and you give your all to that one thing. And you go all in and you become a master at that thing. And when you get out, that thing will feed you. I promise, as long as you
that's
have
the right. discipline. You sure will. You're definitely right. And that's so funny, man. That's what these young people, anybody, older people, whoever are inside them walls, you understand that. Like you just said, educate yourself. Education is the must. That's all that can defeat a felony is education. Use your mind. Not for mind for making other crimes, but use your mind. Don't be up there trying to go up there and sell drugs and do stupid stuff again. They got you back in there. Get out there, use your mind to put it to work, to make a business for yourself. They can't take a business from you because you're the boss. They can get a business going. That's what you got to do. And the other thing is, what's about to say something else to you, and it slipped my mind that quick. It's funny, though. It wasn't funny, but it's seriously what we need to think about because these inmates, we need to know because there is help out there. And I know our time is getting real, real short. And I'm going to go ahead and leave with this part real quick. Is there any way that they can get in contact with you if they have any questions, or family members have any questions and get in contact with you?
Absolutely. You can get me on the website. It's DiPiero, D-I-P-I-E-R-R-O, consultants, If you just go to DiPiero Consultants, or you just put Dean DiPiero Criminal Consultant, you will find me. And I'm very accessible, especially if you're inside. I definitely make myself available to you. And then thank you, Rosillo, for bringing me on. It really has been a pleasure talking to you.
I really appreciate it too, sir. Thank you so much. And I will also have his name up on my site. You guys are more than welcome to call in or call, get in and get it off of my site. And have any questions, I will try to find out for you. These are things that we all need to do is come together, and we need to work to help the system, because the system is on life support, and it's just going to get worse. So you guys, we got like 15 seconds. Once again, I'm happy I'm back on the show, and we have some more questions for him. We're going to open up the line so you guys can ask questions, and that's what we need to do so he knows. I'm not going to catch you by surprise and say the lines are not open. I'm saying the lines are open, so you can ask, people need to ask questions. That's why they're there. But once again, we got 60 seconds, 1 minute. I want to thank you for coming on. I do appreciate what you said. You're very, very knowledgeable in what you're talking about, and I will talk to you later so we can book another show, sir.
For sure. Thank you again.
No problem. Thank you, sir. Goodbye, everybody. Good night. Enjoy your weekend. Be safe, y'all. Stay woke.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.